Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God we're here on another day. This is the day the psalmist says that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God that new mercies, so the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it's good to be here. Just another day. In the land of the living, somebody said it's the land of the dying, but either way, it's good to be here. And just thank God for all of you who have tuned in to Truth Ministry. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So thank God for the blessing of the Lord. The psalm, the writer in Proverbs says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. So it's good to be here. So I'd just like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and Blog Talk followers and listeners. Thank God for you. Also, all of our Twitter followers and Twitter listeners, thank God for you. You can click on the link there on Twitter, and you can catch the broadcast. So thank God for that. Thank God for the technology that we have. Also, all of our Facebook friends and listeners, thank God for you. And I sent the link also to Facebook. So thank God for this technology. I'd like to, as I did on the last time, last week we weren't with you live, but we are back again on this week, on May, this is May the 8th, 2013. So here we are again, and thankful for that. I mentioned about a product that my wife has, and her website is www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. That is the World Wide Web, Cannonball Coffee Club. .organogold.com. So this is a good product. They have various things. They have tea. They have hot chocolate. They have different kinds of coffee. So it's doctor recommended and healing for the body. So her name is Ambrosia L.D. Cannon. So again, that is www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. So check it out. Maybe you'll find something on there that you will like, and we thank you for it in advance. So we thank God for his word, and we're moving on in the word, and just thank God for all of our listeners. Should you be listening live, or should you listen to this broadcast on demand, thank God for you. And I love this vehicle, this Blog Talk Radio. It truly is a blessing, and they are constantly enhancing it more and more. So it is a great tool to be able to reach out. And so there's all kinds of things, shows about many subjects on Blog Talk Radio. So I just thank God that that for the open door that I have to be able to have for Truth Ministry. And just thank God for all of you who listen to the broadcast. And so we're still talking about the Godhead, talking about the God who is the head of all things. So there's only one God, and you need to know his name. And the God of Israel is the God of the church. The God of Israel is the creator of the ends of the earth. So Isaiah the prophet definitely has so much to say about the omnipotent God, about the omnipresence of God. But he's omniscient, means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent, means he has all power. And he's omnipresent, means he's everywhere and every place. So we just, last couple weeks, what I remember, we were in a couple broadcasts, we were in Isaiah 45. And also, ironically, we ended up in Isaiah 46. But this week, we're going to be in the Gospel of St. John. So thank God for it. So important. So the biblical terminology is just a thing that many don't understand, biblical terminology. So it takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. So you have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be able to understand spiritual things. And so this is what Joel was talking about, the prophecy, Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So when you can see in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, God confused their language. They're going to build a tower to reach unto heaven. Everybody was speaking the same languages. God confused them, so they couldn't understand one another. They couldn't carry out the task that they set out to do, and then so on. God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You speak in another language, another tongue, or another language as the Spirit gives you to utter, what to utter. So you're going to speak. And so we see in the book of Acts, first and second chapter, you can see they say that here we hear them speak in our own language wherein we were born. So we did go through the whole book of the Acts of the Apostles a little while back. So anyway, got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to understand spiritual things. So that's why Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:14, I believe he says, but the natural man receives, talking about the unregenerated man or human being, the Bible is written in a masculine gender, and also is written in a feminine gender, depending on what the subject is. In the book of Proverbs, talks about wisdom. Hold on to her. She is thy life. So it's not bias or nothing, because when you get to heaven, you've been born again, you're going to be neuter gender, neither male nor female, which means you're going to be as angels. But anyway, the natural man, the unregenerated man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, received not the things of the Spirit of God. So in other words, he can't understand it. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discern. So that's so important. And I believe I try to be correct if I'm calling out a scripture. I believe on the last time when I was saying, I always like to say, as we were taught, this is the truth when it was rightly divided. So you do have to, so it was 2 Timothy 2:15. I believe I said first. 2 Timothy 2:15, Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, and he told him to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So important to do that. So it is the truth when it's rightly divided. So there are biblical terms when you read in the book of Acts, like when Stephen was stoned to death, I believe in the seventh chapter of Acts, sixth or seventh chapter, I believe it's the seventh chapter. He preached to those people. They stoned him and said he calling upon God, looked up to heaven and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Well, that's the term, the right hand of power or the arm of the Lord. Like Isaiah 53, who has known a mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor. I believe that's in the 11th chapter of Romans. But anyway, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, talking about the arm of the Lord. I'm going to turn there right quick. So important to understand biblical terminology. So that is talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is, they will call it Jehovah's servant, some scholars, but it is the arm of the Lord, which would be Jesus Christ. So, let's see. That is in the 53rd chapter of the Eagle-Eyed Prophet. We call him Isaiah. So he says, who hath believed our report? He starts off with a question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now he's talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So we know that's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. So that's what we are endeavoring to try to make you to see. The Son of God is a office. Jehovah is become our salvation is what Jesus' name meant. You go back and look at the name, so many things that it says. So the office of sonship is going to be done away with. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It's going to be, son's going to be subject to the Father. So in other words, that God may be all and in all. So the Father, the Word, and the Spirit is the self-same one. It's not somebody sitting on somebody's lap or somebody standing on somebody's hand on the throne. But even in the fifth chapter of Revelation, I believe, in the midst of the throne, there stood a lamb. And it goes on to say, out of the midst of the throne, he came and took the book out of him that, out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. He took it from himself. Just like he's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. So he's going to present the church to himself, and he's going to receive the church. So God, in the book of Hebrews, the first word, the first verse, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship. So that's why a real Jew, they know that Jesus is the Messiah. Just like they made statements. He's making himself equal with God in St. John. That's where we read our opening beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the same. In the beginning was the in the beginning God is a divine testimony. the first Genesis 1 and 1. Only one witness was on the stand, and that was God himself. Nobody was back there in the beginning but God. But God revealed the beginning to his servant Moses. So he made known his ways unto Moses, the psalmist says, and his acts unto the children of men. So very important. So like we always try, we say the word Godhead. And I didn't even know I was going to be teaching this. I'm just on this. I've been on this for weeks and weeks. And the term Godhead is only three times in the scriptures. Acts 17 and 29. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver and gold. And Romans 1 and 20, even as eternal power and Godhead. And Colossians 2 and 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. The subject is Christ, Jesus. So that's where the only three scriptures in the Hebrew canon, in the Bible, where the word or the term Godhead is Acts 17 to 29, Romans 1 and 20, and Colossians 2 and 9, where you will find the term Godhead. So he is the head of the church, which is his body. So that just jabs a death lick into all of the important people. And I mean, that's the pride of man. And pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before fall. That was none other than Lucifer himself, who made himself the devil. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. So you'll see those things first, then boom. Just like they said, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and he had a great fall. So just a term that people use when he broke. It's hard to put him back together. So anyway, no one else is important but the Lord himself. So that's Jesus knew that people, that pride would rise up, and these false prophets and false Christ would arise and would deceive many. And so-called blessing plan, I've seen a blessing plan that I've never seen heard of the other day. I just happened to flip on the Word Network on my computer, my iPad. Saw this guy on there talking about sending in $54.17, talking about Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So-called seed offering. So that's foolishness. I mean, that's people coming up with all kinds of garbage. I mean, you're just going to be, you've sent in $54.17. That's what you're going to be out of, because that's it's so-called seed offering. God didn't tell you to do that. All God requires is the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. Not all this foolishness these people coming up with. $200 and $50 and all that, that's a lie out of hell. And God didn't tell them that, and they are liars. And somebody need to call in and tell them that they are liars. That came out of their own mind. You can't buy a blessing. That makes no sense. None. But people don't have the gall. They're not courageous enough to stand up and to fight against that kind of foolishness. But thank God. That's why Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So important. What we need to know is what the word says, and that is 2 Corinthians 5:19. Apostle Paul writing, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That's the greatest revelation of all times. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Corinthian church. And he goes on, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we're going to go on We know God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the spirit had to take on the body, because God don't have flesh and bone. That's what Jesus said when he rose from the dead. Handle me. It is I myself, for spirit have not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So go on, for he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the body of Jesus was made a sin offering. So he had to take on a body to be able to shed blood, to be able to be beat, to be able to be the high priest, to offer the blood, to make the atonement for our sins. And not only for ours, the church, but for the sins of the whole world. So there's nothing like the truth in the word of the Lord. And then also, before we get into our lesson, we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, who were already saved. So there's only one. And that's why the psalmist says 100 in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. He goes on to say, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So he goes on, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So we thank God for his word. So today we want to go back into John's gospel. And we have been in there before. There's so many nuggets and so many good things in there that the Lord said himself. You got to understand that the book of St. John is talking about a divine God. We know Matthew, he wrote to the Jews. That's why Jesus said some things he said and there in the book of Matthew. And those Jews, they knew what he was talking about, and many of them knew who he was. So that's why he was saying, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we done this in your name and done that? Prophesied in your name, and in your name done many wonderful works. It says, I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So this is why many knew who Jesus was during his earthly ministry, and they, Israel as a nation, did not want to acknowledge him as the Messiah, because they knew who he was. They didn't want to give him his due. So today what we want to talk about is we're dealing with Jesus after his resurrection, when he is in his glorified state. And so there's things that have happened during just before he was crucified. And In the book of St. John, we'd have to go back to you can go on back even farther, but it's so much that he said. But anyway, we know in the 13th chapter, Judas Iscariot was already gone out, and he told him what he was going to do. Do it quickly. And so Satan entered in. And so he was able to talk to the other disciples after that happened, after the devil had entered into Judas Iscariot. And then so in the 14th chapter, he revealed himself a little more to Philip and to when he was asking him to show us the Father, it suffice us. He said, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? I speak unto you, believe not that I'm in the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, excuse me, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so he goes on, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So in other words, the Holy Ghost is coming back and going to be in us, the church. So also, I'm always forgetting my call-in number. Should you desire to call in, the guest call-in number, should you have a question, should you have a comment, you're welcome. And it is 646-716-6566. That's during this live show, you have the liberty to be able to do that on May the 8th, 2013, between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So 646, our call-in number, 646-716-6566. God bless you. So as we go on here, so we see so by him going back to heaven and sending back the Holy Ghost, so he says, I'll pray the Father, he shall come, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He goes on, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice what he said. Even the Spirit of truth, this is Jesus talking, in St. John 14, chapter 17, verse, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. This is Jesus talking while he was in his earthly ministry. For he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. And he goes on, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Notice what he said. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That's the devil, the prince of this world. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. So we know he's a true vine in the 15th verse. In the 16th verse, he says a lot of things. It's expedient that I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So here's the thing, here's another thing. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go unto the Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, then the 17th chapter, he prays his priestly prayer. And so you can read on down, and then so verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So I'm trying to build a foundation as we go on here. So we're talking about his deity and his then the oneness, and that they all may be one. Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. See, that's another, even when Moses had asked the Lord to show him his glory, and then so he goes on to tell him that I'm going to pass, you can't see my face and live, there's a place by me, I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the rock, I'm going to pass by. And then he goes on to say, and I will declare the name of the Lord. So that is the same thing that is going here. So we go on here. Jesus had went and prayed with his disciples before they came and got him and took him to crucify him. They answered Jesus, Nazareth, let's see how much time we got. Yeah, we got enough time. This is the 18th chapter. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. Notice what I just said. St. John 18:4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? So let me go up a little farther. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Excuse me. Judas, therefore, having received a band of men and officers from the chief Pharisees, Judas, therefore, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with the lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. You imagine that? They came to seek him. That is a powerful statement. St. John 18:6. As soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. That is, what a statement. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. And therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So we see what's going on here. So they go on, they're constantly asking him questions. So he says, St. John 18:20, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. This is Jesus talking. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. So, but anyway, this is in reference to a question that was asked him. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. So that word doctrine means teaching. So that's what he was saying. You ask them. They know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" This is the question. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, "Did not I see thee in the garden with them?" Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So that's what he was saying. He's not going to, the cock is not going to, you could deny me, he's going to crow twice or three times. Anyway, so we go on here. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" When he asked him about being the King of the Jews, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answers, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So we know here they're judging him, and in Pilate's judgment hall. So we go on here, and so the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." They're talking about Jesus. So how horrible is that? They don't even know who they're talking to. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, went again into the judgment hall, and said unto the Jews, and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" This is he telling Jesus this. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Ain't that something? When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place which is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And so he knew he had messed up. So anyway, we were just trying to draw a foundation before we get into the 20th chapter, because we're going to talk about the resurrection. So anyway, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "You let him go, you know, you're not Caesar's friend." So anyway, so they go on. Then delivered he therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus, led him away. He, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him and two others with him on either side, Jesus in the midst, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The title then read, "Many of the Jews," for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in the Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest to the Jews, to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So that's something how people try to still persuade people to do things like that. So Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple, the disciple standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And that disciple is the one that is writing this book right here, John, the beloved John, who also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Revelation. So that is the one he's talking about himself. So see the humility of people. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not the legs. One of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Another scripture says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That's Zechariah 12 and 10. They're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12 and 10. And I believe we talked about that a little while back. So the resurrection day that he rose from, that he was crucified, is called a high day. So that day is, that lets you know that so-called Resurrection Sunday or Easter is usually right sometimes around the middle of April and not in the last part of March as it was supposedly this year. Anyway, he didn't say remember his resurrection, no way, but he said remember his death. We know that he rose from the dead, so we don't have to keep commemorating the resurrection. We can, as a matter of fact, we can commemorate the resurrection every day. We don't have to wait on a certain day, but we can celebrate the resurrection, and we do celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's it. You can read about that in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, getting into the lesson today, after his resurrection, first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, and it was dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And like I said before, that is John, the one who wrote this book, said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre or the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre, seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin was that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went he in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. See two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. She said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not. So she knew when he called her name, she knew his voice. She thought he was a gardener at first, but he appeared, like in the book of Mark, in another form. And he can do that whenever he gets ready. So he says, Touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Remember what I told you? He is the Lord God. The Lord, he is God. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoso sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see him, I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. So that's what we wanted to talk about today. This is after the resurrection. After the resurrection from the dead. So we go on here, letting you know that he is very God. And that's why he said, Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. In St. John, the second chapter, or the third, wherever that was, I'm not for sure. And so they were saying 46 years it took to build this, and he's going to raise it up in 3 days. But the scripture goes on to say, But he spake of the temple of his body. So some things they didn't understand until he opened their understanding. And you can read that in St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then in Mark, the 16th chapter, he appeared in another form. So everybody's talking about the same resurrection, but people go into detail about the resurrection in their own way, but they're all saying the same thing. So in many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So this is the message that we endeavor to let people know, that salvation is in the name of Jesus, and that is the correct way to be baptized. And that's why Luke said in Acts 4 and 12, Saint Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles also. He says, neither is there salvation in any other name, in any other, because they were talking about the name of Jesus. So he says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Talking about the name of Jesus. So thank God for that name. So this is what we were saying. So he, to look at someone is to behold him. So he was letting Thomas know, behold me, my hands, believe me. So, and this is what we got to understand, why Israel didn't enter into the promised land. The Hebrew writer says so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so, you know, the word in the book of the Hebrews, the key word is better. So we got better promises built upon better, the better covenant. So that's so important. So we can not just substantiate the resurrection in the 20th chapter of St. John, but we also can go to the book of Luke with the little time that we have left and see the same thing that he said after the resurrection of the Lord. And so Luke 24 and 39, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he did eat, he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, which that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So you can't understand unless God gives you understanding. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So he stepped on a cloud, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. So there's two accounts of the resurrection. So we're going to go back to Mark's account of the resurrection. So let's see. So after he got up, and remember Mary Magdalene, he cast out seven devils out of her. A lot of people, they don't say that. But anyway, after he got up from the dead, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he go up before you into Galilee. This is what the angels told them, and he said unto you. They went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, or the sepulchre, and for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything, they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And we saw that in the 20th chapter of St. John. That is the first one that he appeared unto, and he did call her name Mary, and she said Rabboni, which is to say Master, in the 20th chapter of St. John. So scripture will support scripture. So she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard these things, heard that he was alive, I'm sorry, and had been seen of her, believe not, and he appeared in another form. There it is right there, I said earlier, under two of them as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So soon after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now that's terminology, that he is God. He's not sitting on his right hand, but he is God. That's the place of a power. That is the place of authority. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So we thank God. So that's what we wanted to show, talk about him, his deity, after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. So as I said earlier, I mentioned about this product that my wife is selling, called Organo Gold Coffee. And I just want to kind of make mention about that again as we're getting ready to go off. And so anyway, thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so I want to make mention again about this coffee. www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. That is CannonballCoffeeClub.organogold.com. And my wife's name is Ambrosia L.D. Cannon. So this is doctor recommended healing for the body. They have tea, they have hot chocolate, and they also have coffee. So again, that is www.CannonballCoffeeClub.organogold.com. So we thank God for you listening to the broadcast, and we look forward to ministering to you, and should you desire to call in, on the next time. God bless.
hope.